Part map. This part of the book is not a story. It is tools for those who recognize themselves in the previous chapters and want to know, what do I do about it? Each of these insights I lived through, not read, but lived. Some came in therapy, some under ketamine, some at 4 a.m. when you can't sleep and you're talking to ChatGPT because there's no one else. Some on a yoga mat, in a pose that makes the whole body cramp, and suddenly understanding arrives and you cry. Some at 3 in the morning, when you're not sleeping and there's nothing to lose. I gathered them here because it would have helped me enormously if someone had given me this map 10 years ago, not instead of therapy. Alongside it. Chapter. I thought I was living. I was actually surviving. 12-hour workdays. Arsenies, crises, wine, insomnia, mourning. Repeat. I called this life. It was survival. The difference, life is when you're present. Survival is when you function. I'd been working since age 6. If you can't do anything just because, without a goal, without a result, that's not personality. That's a survival strategy recorded in childhood. Chapter Love Without Resources Becomes Trauma. You can love and simultaneously wound. Intention doesn't equal effect. I wanted to give Arseny a different childhood, and gave him mine. Hurt people hurt people, because you can't give what you don't have. You can't be tender if no one ever stroked you. The only working order, fill yourself first. Chapter. I passed on what I wanted to protect against. Grandmother threw me out of the house at 5. I swore, my child won't grow up like this. And at 6, I told Arseny, leave if you don't like it. In grandmother's words, in grandmother's voice. Mother walked ahead on the night street and didn't turn around. I swore, I won't be like that. And when angry, I walked faster, leaving Arseny behind, tossing, I don't need you. I'm better alone. I won't be like my mother, the most common promise of children of alcoholics, and the most frequently broken, not because you lie, but because trauma is not a choice. It's an automatic system. It fires faster than you can think. The body reacts before the head. You scream, and only then hear your own scream, and recognize grandmother's voice in it, and hate yourself, and drink, and the circle closes. Breaking it is possible. But not through the promise, I won't be like that. Only through the realization, I already am. And from that point, work. Not from the illusion that you're different, from the honesty that you're a continuation, and that a continuation can be rewritten. But first you have to see it. Chapter. I don't know how to just be. When there's nothing to do, I feel bad. Not bored. Bad. Anxiety rises like water in a bathtub. Slowly but inexorably. The body doesn't know what peace is. Silence equals emptiness. Relaxation equals threat. Rest equals uselessness. And uselessness equals they'll throw you out. Grandmother discarded the useless. I don't know how to rest. Can't relax. I binge on sweets when I stop working. I can't leave the house just because, without a reason. I can't sit on the beach and enjoy the ocean I live next to. I can't do anything without a purpose. I live 8 minutes from the Pacific Ocean and I've been there 4 times in 2 years, each time with a checklist. The inability to just be is not the opposite of laziness. It's a core symptom. A child who grew up in chaos learned one thing, act. Action equals control equals safety. Stopping equals loss of control equals danger. The body recorded this as fact, and rewriting it is possible only through the body, not through the head. The head has long known that relaxing is needed. The body doesn't believe it. My practical tool? Start with microdoses of peace. 5 minutes with closed eyes. Not meditation and just silence. Without a goal, without a result, without expectations. If anxiety rises, now that's normal. It doesn't mean it's not working. It means the body is noticing for the first time that anxiety exists. Before, it was background and like the hum of a refrigerator. Now you hear it, and that is already progress. Chapter: Isolation is not an accident, it's a strategy. I don't need anyone. I'm better alone. Since age 7. Not truth, defense. If I don't attach, it won't hurt. Loneliness, the most reliable and most destructive coping. Closeness equals danger. A formula from the body of a child who was abandoned. The way out is not find the right person, but learning to lower the wall brick by brick. Starting with one living person you can tell the truth to. Chapter: I lived in my head. The body didn't exist. Knowledge is in the head. The program is in the body. And between them, an abyss, like two computers not connected to the same network. One knows the answer, the other runs old code. A sexologist asked about arousal, and I said, sex has to happen in the head first. My body doesn't want things on its own. My head has to be persuaded first. And only then, maybe the body connects. I said this as an obvious thing, and the therapist went silent. Because for a normal person, it sounds the opposite. The body wants, the head decides. But in my case, the head controls even desire. Even arousal. Even what, for most people, happens on its own, without permission and without a plan. For 41 years, my body was a work tool, not me. It received orders from the head. Work, endure, don't feel, don't relax. It had no right to want, because at 3 on the carpet in front of everyone, the body betrayed me, and since then, trusting it was impossible. Control extended to everything. Food, sleep, pain, sex. The body was not an ally. For the ACA person who grew up in chaos, control over the body is the last fortress. Giving the body the right to want means giving up control. And giving up control means being on that carpet again, defenseless in front of everyone. That's why sex is in the head. That's why must instead of desires. I lived in my head for 20 years. Analyzed, controlled, planned, solved. And the body. The body trailed behind, hurt, didn't sleep, bled, clenched, and patiently waited for me to pay attention. Breathwork was the breakthrough. A breath that doesn't require understanding. Movement that doesn't require analysis. A physical action to which the body responds before the head can interfere. If you understand everything but nothing changes, the problem isn't understanding. The problem is that head and body work separately. Connecting them, that's the task, not through another book, through a breath. Chapter: This is a thought, not a fact. The simplest and most powerful tool I received. 4 words. When the critic inside says, you're defective, all efforts are for nothing. No progress, nothing will change, nobody needs you. Don't argue. Arguing doesn't work. The critic speaks in an old voice, and the new one has months of practice. Instead of arguing, distance. This is a thought, not a fact. Not a refutation. Not, no, I'm good. The brain will instantly reject that. But a small gap between the thought and you. I'm defective is not truth about me. It's a thought that comes when it hurts. The thought is not me. I am the one who notices the thought. Practical protocol. When it hits, don't analyze. Identify the block. I have 6. The victim block. This was done to me and I'm powerless. The catastrophe block. If things get good, expect payback. The distrust block. Everyone will betray. The overload block. Too much, I won't cope. The I'm a number block. I'm just a function, a resource, nobody cares. The I'm broken block, nothing can be fixed about me. Identify the block, insert 1 counterphrase, 1, not 10. Right now, this is the catastrophe block. My fear about 42 is not a prophecy. Right now, this is the overload block. I don't have to process everything right now. Right now, this is the victim block. I am the author of the next step. Naming the block makes it visible. Visible is less terrifying. You're no longer inside it, you're beside it, and you can choose not to dive in. Chapter: Rewritten Beliefs. The brain handles negations poorly. I'm not a victim. The brain hears victim. I don't need to control. The brain hears control. So new beliefs must be formulated directly, positively, without not. Here are my rewritten beliefs. Each replaces an old one. Old: happiness requires sacrifice to, I can be happy just because, my happiness is safe for the world. Old: I'm a victim to, I'm the author of my life. I create my story. Old: my fear is a prophecy to, my fear is a signal. Life supports me. Old: I'm a function to, my value exists before any result. Old: vulnerability equals death. To, my tenderness is safe. I gently hold my little fox. Old: brain is broken to, my mind is clear and strong. My thoughts flow in a calm rhythm. Old: rest equals uselessness to, silence restores. My mind enjoys rest. Old: asking is forbidden to, my needs deserve a voice. Asking is safe. Old: love must be earned to, joy naturally lives in me. Old: all for nothing, no progress to, absence of results now is a signal to recalibrate, not to give up. I wrote 5 of them on the fridge, on little pieces of paper, small enough that your eye catches them when you go for water. The critic sees them every day. First he laughed, then got used to them, then sometimes went quiet for a second. That second is all you need. In that second, choice, small, often lost, but choice. Chapter: insights don't change life, practice does. It helped, but not the way I expected. I expected lightning. One insight and everything flips. One session and the pain leaves. One seminar and I'm a different person. That's how my brain worked. Fast results, measurable effect, clear deadline. The body doesn't work like that. One day the change started and I stopped it. Another session with a sexologist. Again, things became clear that I didn't want to see. The helpless surrenderer started rising, familiar, quiet, with that same pointless, after which the suicidal part usually comes. But this time, I knew what to do. I breathed. The body let go before the surrenderer could finish speaking. Then I called Vitya, suggested spending the evening together. He refused, briefly, matter-of-factly, dismissively. Before, this would have launched everything. Critic, surrenderer, binge eater, the voice from the chest. But the breathing did its work. I managed to notice the chain before it gained speed. I made myself dinner, arranged it nicely on a plate, went to work on the book. What exactly he said and why it hurt. In the next chapter. This is not a rise from the ashes. This is a plate with dinner instead of the pit. A small, quiet, ugly choice. But for the first time, mine. Not being sad, as it would have been before. Not filling the bathtub to try to drown myself. Yes, that happened too while I was writing this book and remembering my childhood. The brain demands fast results. The body restructures slowly. Like muscles, you train for weeks and it seems like nothing. And then at some point you realize, oh, I can sit 15 minutes longer. Oh, I wake up less wrecked. Oh, the attacks are less frequent. Before that moment, there's seemingly no result. But it's not zero. It's accumulation. A year without noticeable effect can mean not wasted, but wrong lever. Or right lever. But the body restructures slower than the brain wants. Or there's a factor that overrides the effect. Sleep deprivation, chronic stress, inflammation. And then the exercises give micro pluses, but they drown. The conclusion there will never be results doesn't follow from any of these cases. A different one follows. I need to fine-tune more precisely what exactly I'm doing and how I'm measuring the effect. The thought all for nothing is not about truth. It's about wanting to stop suffering, about protecting yourself from hope, because hope has already burned many times. Inside it sounds like, if I admit it's all for nothing, at least it won't hurt so much waiting for results. A cruel but understandable strategy of the psyche. If you're doing the work and not seeing results, that's not proof it's meaningless. It's proof that you're doing it, that you haven't given up, that it matters to you. Just keep going. Chapter: The Way Out Exists, But It's Ugly. Recovery is not an inspiring movie montage, not a smooth arc from bottom to light, not a beautiful story where the heroine cries against a sunset and then emerges renewed. Recovery is doing fourth step work and drinking in a bar, meditating for 6 months and feeling nothing, returning to square one after every breakthrough, after a seminar, the knife, after clarity, the bottle, after silence, screaming at the child again. This is not failure. This is process. Dirty, non-linear, with relapses, with setbacks, with the feeling everyone manages except me. Setback after breakthrough is normal. Breakthrough to hope, to setback to despair, to nothing works, to one more attempt. This doesn't mean it's not working. It means the body is restructuring. First worse, then better. Those who quit at the torn apart stage don't see results. Those who continue do. Important. Continuing doesn't mean not falling. It means falling and getting up. Falling and getting up. Falling and getting up. Each time slightly differently. Not on autopilot, but consciously, knowing why you fell. Chapter: You Have to Become Your Own Parent. Reparenting is not a technique and not an exercise. It's a decision. Become the one you've been waiting for your whole life. Not a perfect parent, a sufficient one. One who won't leave. One who says sunshine in the morning, even when it's dark inside. I learn this every day. Through a cat, through notes on the fridge, through one kind voice in the head that once didn't exist. Chapter: Mini Protocol. When it hits. Here's what I do when the wave rises. Despair, suicidal thoughts, self-hatred, panic. Step one, don't analyze. Don't ask why. Simply notice. I'm being hit. Step two, identify the block. Is this about being a victim? About catastrophe? About I'm broken? About overload? Name it, aloud or to myself. Step three, one phrase, not 10. One, my fear is not a prophecy, or this is a thought, not a fact, or today is a bad day, this is not the whole picture. I have a whole fridge of these phrases for such occasions, read on. Step four, body, inhale, one deep breath, not meditation, not a practice, one breath. Feel that your feet are on the floor, that your hands exist, that the body is here. Step five, wild kitten. Imagine a small creature inside that's scared. Don't scold it. Don't say pull yourself together. Simply, I'm here. You're not alone. This will pass. This doesn't heal. This is first aid. Like a tourniquet on a wound. Doesn't cure but stops the bleeding. So you survive until the next morning. And in the morning you can continue the work. One day at a time. One breath at a time, one phrase on the fridge at a time. Chapter: Can I Exist? My entire life was an attempt to answer one question. I didn't know it was a question. I thought it was just life. A's, gold medal, a job at a cool company. I thought that was me. Turned out, it was an answer. Can I exist? Not do I have the right to live? That's too philosophical. But literally, bodily, childishly. Am I allowed to be? Here. in this house, in this family, on this earth? Am I allowed to take up space? Am I allowed to eat from the plate? Am I allowed to want? Grandmother answered this question thus: you may exist if you're useful. If A's, if you cleaned, fed the livestock, washed the steps, if quiet, if you're not in the way, if you're not sick, if you don't want, if you don't ask. And I accepted these conditions, not consciously, with my body, at 5. And since then, every achievement of mine was not about achievement. It was about the right to exist. An A, not a grade, but a permission to exist one more day. And when they laid me off, after exceeds high bar, after never happened, impossible, what collapsed inside wasn't professional self-respect. The answer to the question collapsed. If I'm no longer useful, can I exist? The entire path through ACA, through breathing, through reparenting, was a path to a different answer to the same question. Not, you may exist if useful, but simply, you may exist. Period. Without conditions. I don't fully believe this yet. Grandmother's voice is louder. It has many years of experience. But the new voice, the one that says you can just be, it's learning. And sometimes for 1 second, for one breath, I believe it. Chapter notes on the fridge. On my fridge, 3 sheets, not Instagram affirmations, not I am worthy of love on a pink background. Each is the result of a specific fall. Each is an instruction for the next one. The first words printed, a checklist of human needs, 12 categories, each with subcategories, pleasure, body, sex, relationships, love, safety, purpose, rest, beauty, admiration, spirituality, contentment. I found it from Tim Fletcher, a therapist who works with alcoholics and adult children from dysfunctional families, and I went through with a pink marker every item I didn't have. Pink turned out to be more than white. I looked at this sheet and understood. Here it is. The map of my emptiness, not abstract. I feel bad. Concrete. Numbered. Each pink item, a hole through which life leaks. And at the bottom, a formula that explained everything. Contentment equals needs met consistently. Discontent equals unmet needs. Not philosophy. Arithmetic. Next to the checklist, I wrote by hand. Dance, draw, rope flow, kitties. 4 words. 4 things that make me feel good, that require no money, no permission, no other person, that are mine. And at the bottom in small handwriting, when it's bad, ask, am I tired? Because half my suicidal thoughts came from sleep deprivation, not from an existential crisis, from 3 hours of sleep. Body tired, brain generates catastrophe. That simple, that maddeningly simple. The second sheet, handwritten, in block letters like a child's. Title, despair. 7 points. 7 voices that come when I'm at the bottom. And beside each, an answer. Not beautiful, not inspiring. Functional, like an evacuation instruction. First voice, I'm gonna die soon. Answer, I see. I feel bad. I've been through states like this before. I don't need to draw conclusions now. This is a state. It's temporary. Just survive it. Second, it will always be bad. Answer, I don't have to believe these thoughts. Doubt them. This will pass, even if it seems like it won't. Hope will return on its own when it gets easier. Third, critic, I'm not managing. Answer, this is just a program. Switch the radio, turn away, and don't feed it with your attention. Be greedy. Greedy for life, not for the critic. Fourth, critic. I'm defective. Answer, shame not equal to truth. This is a thought, not a fact. Right now I'm being tossed. This isn't the whole reality. It's an old record. The brain is dramatizing right now. Fifth, critic. No progress. A year of effort for nothing. Answer. The longest, because this voice is the most convincing. Absence of results now not equal to absence of results ever. I'm seeing only today's frame, not the whole process. The brain demands fast results, that the body doesn't work like that. No improvement today does not equal never. Pain says never, but pain is bad at predicting the future. This is despair talking, not facts. The brain is dramatizing. 6. Vitya is criticizing again with bulging eyes. Answer. Right now I'm thinking from a triggered state. I can take a pause without destroying everything. I, as a woman, am doing everything right. You, as a man, are doing everything right. Next time, let's have you do it. 7. Despair. The pit. Answer by Intui. One line from Sadhguru. I am not the body and not the mind. I observe emotions and thoughts and give them passage. Let them pass and observe. The 3rd sheet, also handwritten. Title, The Critic, with an exclamation mark. As if I'm screaming in his face. Stop. I won't obey. You have no power over me. I choose not to listen. What would you say to your best friend in this situation? This isn't me. It's a state plus the critic. I don't have to decide anything right now. And then, his 3 favorite attacks, dissected. It will always be like this. It won't change. This is a forecast, not a fact. I'm not trying hard enough, doing everything wrong. This is an attack, a diagnosis, not a fact. I'm fine. The body is defending itself. That's not a mistake. I need to learn safety. I have to fix this urgently. I'm in stabilization mode, not change mode. And at the bottom, 5 lines I added later, when I started seeing deeper. The past should have been different, leads to suffering, leads to release attachment to things being otherwise. Wasted time is when I feel worse, not when there's no result. I don't need to earn attention through suffering. 3 sheets, needs checklist, despair protocol, anti-critic instructions. These aren't affirmations, these are weapons. Specific, sharpened for a specific enemy. Critic says you're defective. I read, shame not equal to truth. This is a thought, not a fact. Despair says it will always be bad. I read, this is a forecast, not a fact. The suicidal part whispers, I'm going to die soon. I read, this is a state. It's temporary. Just survive it. 20 years of therapy didn't give me these words. I gave them to myself. From my own falls. From my own pits. From the place no therapist can climb into because it's my bottom and my language. Each line on these sheets is a scar I turned into an instruction. For myself, in case I fall again. Not if, when. Because I know I'll fall. And I know I'll get up. And I know that in the moment when I'm lying on the floor and the critic is screaming and despair is whispering, I'll walk to the fridge and read. For the ACA reader, write your own, not mine, yours, in your language, from your pits, about your voices, and hang them where you'll see them in the worst moment, not in a journal on a shelf, on the fridge, on the mirror, on the wall by the bed, where you look when you don't have the strength to even get up. Chapter Survival Program Table. Yulia, my mentor, once suggested, let's write it all down. Not feelings, not events, but the program, like code, like the algorithm you live by. Diagnostics, she called it that. We made a table, my goal. Habits, causes, where resources go, result. And when I saw the outcome, one sentence, I felt physically ill. Not because it was new, but because it was precise. So precise, it closed my throat. Here it is. I must strain, humiliate myself, push away, hide, be rejected by others and by myself, in order to continue and not protest. One sentence, my entire life, 35 years in one line. Strain. Because relaxing is forbidden, grandmother taught. Relax and something bad happens. Humiliate myself because grandmother slap, rag across the face, bibasarka. That's normal. I'm used to it. Push away because closeness is dangerous. Mother abandoned, grandmother expelled. Better to be first. Hide. Because visibility equals a blow. Whoever was seen was hit. Better invisible. Be rejected by others, poison. Because it's familiar. Because expecting rejection is more habitual than expecting love. Be rejected by myself. Because if I consider myself bad, someone else's devaluation won't be a surprise. In order to continue, here's the key. All of this is not masochism, not love of suffering. It is a survival strategy, a program recorded in the body of a child who found the only way to stay alive, become convenient, become quiet, become useful, become invisible. And don't protest, because protest equals punishment. Protest equals chair leg. Protest equals don't like it, leave. Protest equals orphanage. Yulia said, "This program can't be changed abruptly. It's like heart surgery. First you connect artificial breathing so the body can function while the old is turned off. Same here. The code must be rewritten carefully, preserving the same dynamics but changing the direction so the program serves accumulation of resources, not their expenditure. Find the verbs and replace with new ones." And then we wrote the result. Not counter formulations, the result, where I'm headed. What will be when the code is rewritten? I will be able to feel satisfied with myself and life regardless of surrounding circumstances. I will be able to serve others from inner abundance, share good things without giving away the last. I will be able to apply creativity in life. I will be able to build harmony within myself and within the family. Four sentences. Four permissions I hadn't had since childhood. Being satisfied, not for an A, but just because. Serving, not from emptiness, but from fullness. Creating, not for utility, but for joy. And harmony. Within myself. Within the family. Two words I couldn't pronounce for 35 years because I didn't know their taste. What's your program? In one sentence, I must blank and blank and blank in order to blank. When you see it from the outside, it will hurt, and it will be the beginning. Then write the result, not how to fix, but where you're headed. What will be when the code is rewritten? That's not a dream. That's a direction, and a direction is already not a cage. Chapter Afraid Tongte. Do it. Grandfather's phrase, "You took the reins, don't say you can't pull," became my formula for 25 years. Because afraid no, do it is not just a strategy. It's a survival strategy, recorded at 17, in a moment of complete despair. When the only adult I called for help hung up the phone. This is not wisdom. It's a child's reaction when there's nowhere left to go. And at 20, 25, 30, it worked. Brilliantly. Flawlessly, like an engine that doesn't shut off. I pushed through. I achieved. I got results. And every result confirmed the formula works. Afraid, do it. No pain, no progress. And then I turned 40, and the formula broke. Not because I became weaker, but because the engine that ran on despair for 25 years had exhausted its resource. The usual rise didn't work. Not enough ash. Not enough energy to clench teeth again and go. The body that had been forced to obey for 35 years refused. Insomnia, pain, convulsions, depression, suicidal thoughts, and yet 12-hour workdays. Because the formula, afraid, do it, hurting, do it, want to die, do it, just don't die. I reached the knife on this formula. That's its price. That's the result of 40 years of overcoming. Grandfather's reins gave me wings, and those same wings became shackles, because the formula doesn't distinguish when you need to push through and when you need to stop. It knows only one thing, forward, always forward, even if ahead is a wall, even if ahead is a knife. If you recognize yourself, I never give up. I break through walls. I'm strong. Look closely. This may not be strength. This may be a survival strategy recorded in childhood. It saved your life, and it may also kill you. Because between don't give up and stop, you're hurting. There's a difference this formula cannot see. And learning that difference may be the most important thing you ever do. What helped me was one thing, replacing afraid, do it with afraid, feel it. Not immediately, not completely. In microdoses. Stop, breathe, ask yourself, am I going forward because I want to or because I don't know how to stop? And if the answer is don't know how, give yourself permission not to do, even for 5 minutes, even for one breath, even just once. This is not weakness. This is courage of a different order. The kind grandfather couldn't teach. Chapter 1, Phoenix went bankrupt. Phoenix wasn't bad. He was the only thing I had. He lifted me when no one else would. Thank you for that. Now it's time to let him rest. My whole life, I rose from ashes. That was my way. My cycle. My rhythm. Stability to catastrophe to fall. To numbness to, and then, from the ashes, rise. Vigorous with a plan. With a new book. With a new method. With a new seminar. Eyes ablaze. Hands reaching for the checklist. Now I know how. Now it will definitely work. Now, differently. But I didn't see for a long time how exactly this machine worked inside. Thought I was simply falling. In reality, the fall was multi-staged, and each stage triggered the next. First came the merciless critic. He didn't shout, I just stated, you're not good enough. Failed again. In grandmother's voice, grandmother's intonation, only from inside. In response, the perfectionist jumped up to prove the critic wrong. One more plan, one more attempt, 12 more hours of work. Control immediately tightened everything. Calculate, anticipate, prevent error. And when the perfectionist lost, when the plan didn't work, when yet another therapy gave 3 days of afterglow and everything returned, then came the helpless surrender. Quiet, tired. Pointless. Give up. Nothing will change. After him, the teenage binge eater activated. Eat it down, drown it out, stuff your mouth with whatever, just don't feel. And only then, when the surrenderer had already convinced and the binge eater had already gone numb, came the voice of death. The suicidal part. The voice that doesn't shout. That whispers, why? At 40, the rise didn't happen. For the first time. There was ash, but no bird. Not enough energy. Despair, which used to be fuel for takeoff, became simply despair. Not a launch pad, a pit. This was the most terrifying moment. Scarier than the knife. Scarier than the balcony. Because the knife and the balcony are still about action. But Phoenix's bankruptcy is when there's no more action. When you lie and can't get up. Not because something holds you. Because inside is empty. Not painful. Empty. As if someone removed the battery. But precisely in that silence, in that emptiness that seemed like the end, was the beginning. Because when the mechanism goes quiet, space appears for something else. Not for another rescue plan, not for a 13th modality, but for silence, for the admission, I'm not coping, for the first step of ACA, powerlessness, the very one impossible to admit while Phoenix is working. The first step of ACA, admitting powerlessness, became possible only because the rise didn't work. While it worked, I couldn't admit powerlessness, because I always rose, always coped, always found a way. And when the way ended, only one thing remained, ask for help. Not from God, not from a therapist, not from Vitya, from the program, from people who'd been through the same, from those who know what it's like when Phoenix no longer flies. For the ACA reader, if your habitual mechanism of Feldteufel rose has stopped working, that's not defeat. That doesn't mean you're broken for good. It means the old way has exhausted its resource, that the body can't anymore, that it's time for a different one. And different begins with silence, with I don't know how, with help. That's not weakness. That's the first step. Chapter saw it in another means it's possible for me. I don't know how to believe in myself. Never did. Since age 5, I was told, nobody needs you. You'll die under a fence. Trash. A child told, this doesn't grow into a person who believes in herself. She grows into a person who believes in facts. And facts are what she sees in others. And that's exactly how I learned my whole life. Not through faith, through example. 3 times, the same mechanism. Valieva found her father. A CA people found hope. 2 strangers quit drinking and breathwork. Each time, saw that it's possible for another, took it as a benchmark for myself. This is not weakness. This is a learning method characteristic of ACA. We don't believe abstract statements. You'll manage is empty sound. Just believe in yourself is mockery. But here's a person who was where you are and got out. That's a fact. A fact can be trusted. If you can't believe in yourself, don't. Don't force yourself. Find a person who's been through it. 1. Living. In a room, at a meeting, in a book, in a podcast. Who is at the bottom and got out? And believe not in yourself, in the fact of their experience. That's enough to begin. This book is also a fact. I was at the bottom. I got out. Not all the way, not perfectly, but got out. And if you're reading this and recognizing yourself, it means you can already see. And it means your inner voice is already saying what mine said. Maybe. Maybe me too. Chapter Increased Resolution. After 4 months in the program, I concluded, nothing changed. Same cage, same inability to love, same autopilot. All the speed return, a key toward dropping things, bumping into things. Square one. And I thought, doesn't work. 4 months in square one. So ACA is yet another modality that doesn't help. Another disappointment in the collection. And then, not immediately, after a week, after a conversation with the sponsor, after one meditation, I saw something different. Not change, but resolution. Before, I lived in cycles and didn't see them. Stability to catastrophe, to rise to stability. Circle after circle, like a hamster in a wheel. Running and not knowing it's running in circles, because the resolution was low, like a photo from a cheap camera. You see contours, but not details. Now, after 4 months, the resolution grew. I see the cycle, see the autopilot engage, see the perfectionist grab the wheel, see control flood and plunge into despair, see and name. Can't always stop, but see. Before, didn't see. Just lived, just screamed, just drank, just didn't sleep, just planned divorce, just held the knife, all on autopilot, all according to the program recorded at 5, without awareness, without naming, without choice. Now, I see. Can't always stop, but I see. And between I'm screaming and don't know why, and I'm screaming and I see it's grandmother's voice, there's an abyss. In that abyss, choice. Small. Often unavailable, often belated. But choice, which didn't exist before. Here's what increased resolution means. Worse not equal to worse. Worse equals you see more. See more equals notice what used to be background. And background, it hurts. It always hurt. You just didn't feel it. Numbness is not absence of pain, it's absence of sensitivity. When sensitivity returns, pain becomes visible, and it seems like it got worse. But in reality, it got more honest. If you're in recovery and feel it's gotten worse, this may not be a setback. This may be increased resolution. You're finally seeing what was hidden behind the numbness, and seeing hurts. But seeing is already different. It's already a beginning. This is not a list of tools. This is a map of my pits, each point a place where I lay. If something from this settled, it means you too know this place, and it means you're already not entirely there. Increased resolution is not healing. It's the ability to see more clearly. What used to be a blurred smear of pain now has contours, names, addresses. You see more, and therefore can choose Not perfectly, not always, but more often than yesterday.